I've got children, they're multiplying, and I'm losing control, 'cause the power you're supplying, it's electrifying. You better shape up, 'cause I need a man, and my heart is set on you. You better shape up, and you better understand. To my heart I must be true. Oh Lord, there's nothing more for me to do. You're the one that I want. You, honey, the one that I want. You, honey, the one that I want. What I need. Oh yes, indeed. If you're filled with affection, but you're too shy to convey, meditate in my direction, feel your way. You better shape up, 'cause you need a man who can keep you satisfied. I better shape up if I'm gonna prove that your fate is justified. No, I'm sure down deep inside, you're the one that I want. Honey, the one that I want. Honey, the one that I want. The what I need. Oh, yes,
March 24th, 2013. I'm Jeff Box Puppy.
Me not that kind of orc.
I'm Damon.
Everybody dance now!
And I'm Gary.
Sassy gals, get the hose!
Hey, welcome to Gubs Out Loud, the Bear Podcast of Indeterminate Length, episode number 204. And I do great improv because the date wasn't updated, nor was the episode number on our sheet. So I am proud to say I am very talented.
Yay.
We did it. So.
What you talking about, Willis? It's already updated. Look at it.
No.
No, you just updated to the but the episode number still said 203. It now says 204, thanks to Damon. So shut up, bitch.
Wow.
I know. And speaking of which, the reason why I said Jeff Box Puppy, because right now, today on the show, we are happy to welcome Jeff Rock Cub.
Yeah, baby. You know where you are.
Mm-hmm. So this is going to be one of the most interesting episodes because apparently we already put in everything that I will just continue to be Jeff. And we'll refer to our guest host as Rock Cub. Will that actually work? Probably not. And that's when hilarity will ensue. Wait. Quick one question here, Jeff. How do you spell your full name, full first name?
Me?
Yeah.
As opposed to the Rock Cub thing, it's just J-E-F-F.
So you don't have an Uri?
I do. It's in my perspective, it's spelled correct. It's Uri and not Furry. So it's E-R-Y.
That's exactly how it is. And yes, it is furry because R-E-Y is re.
Oh!
Right? So it is Jeff Furry.
Okay.
So we both spell our names correctly. I'm trying to find some sort of distinction between the two of us. Is this not working here?
What's your middle name?
Sean.
I would be before you then because I'm an Alan.
Oh. Ha, ha, ha.
And Gary is going to like this, I'm sure, because if you can put all of my initials together, my initials are Jaw. So.
And you definitely have a good jaw on you.
Gary? It's for singing. It's for singing.
Mm. Oh, it sings real good.
Oh my god.
Okay.
And hilarity has.
So, what the F did we do this week to move this on to separate from the innuendos, which will probably reoccur, I'm assuming. But for me, watched a little more Game of Thrones, was weird and wow, and got late. I was hoping for twice, but only once, unfortunately.
What? Damn you.
Yeah. I haven't been late in like a month.
That's amazing. Same. I didn't realize that you could actually smell through Skype because I smelled jealousy.
Oh, I'm serving that shit up in a fresh pudding, so don't be messing.
Oh, and by the way, I also did post another random act of cubbiness, random act of cubbiness, random act of cubbiness. That was me imitating my new theme song for random act of cubbiness. So if you missed it, pop over to the website cubsoutloud.com and check it out. And an old picture of me from back like in 2007, 2008.
Old picture.
It's a really old picture from way back when. Anyways. That's why I did this week. Timer.
Timer, yes.
Timer.
So it's actually gonna be pretty brief and quick. I had rehearsal for they don't say that ever. I had rehearsal for the men's chorus. And we were getting ready for our concerts in a couple of weeks. I keep mentioning ABBA because that's what we're doing. And yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a great show, dancing, queens, and everything else. So on Friday, I got a random text from a friend who I haven't seen in a while, lived nearby, Robbie, and he was like, "What are you doing tonight?" So I wasn't doing anything. So we went to see other friends in a drag show, which was a lot of fun. There's one drag queen called Mary Jane, who is this little bitty thing and tore the stage up. Danced everywhere, did def drops and splits and kicks and everything else, and it was just freaking amazing watching her, and dizzying and whatnot. And other than that, you know, I've been at home. We're bracing for yet another snowpocalypse, as they say, here in Cincinnati. Talking about like getting, 6 inches of snow in March. So we still see how Cincinnati fairs this time around. We've gotten these snowpocalypses and they've ended up being like 2 or 3 inches and no one has really been as it's never been as detrimental, but they keep saying this one's going to be different. So crossing the fingers that I get a day off of work. That would be great. I doubt it'll happen, but we'll see. So yeah, that's been my week.
So yes, not much there. Gary?
Yeah. That wasn't very long. Did you time it?
Yeah, it was only about 2 minutes.
Told you. Okay. Not much going on.
don't be throwing shade. That's enough of that.
I can throw enough shade. All tea, all shade.
So basically, my life consists of two things. Work, which is ramping up and turning into hell, and Drenchfer. And I'm getting less and less sleep as each night goes by, as we get closer to preparing for the run. But it's all good. It's got its ups and downs, you know, trying to get all that shit together. So I'm riding a wave as best I can.
Good. I saw the video that you posted kind of updating people on what's going on. So the run is sold out, right?
Yes. The run, well, the hotel's sold out. The run is sold out. The only thing that is not sold out is the water park. And that's because the water park can hold more than 10 times the size of the run. So I'll never be able to probably sell out the building, but that's nice. Okay. Yeah, it's our largest turnout yet, which is probably why I'm so stressed and losing my hair. Because we've increased the size of the run, not intentionally, but from last year's numbers to this year's numbers, it's pretty significant. And so we're trying to roll with everything as it's been taking place. And, you know, it's been interesting. We've had some ups and downs on some stuff. We've had to make some changes to some activities and those kind of things. But overall, the committee is really stoked about giving, you know, the guys that come one of the, you know, best experiences that we can. And you know, and the whole point of it, you know, is that it's a smaller scale run. It's meant to be fun, meant to be social, have a good time, hang out, you know, meet some old friends, meet some new ones, and enjoy that. So next year I expect the hosts of this podcast to come to the run and so we can record together. Live and in person.
Ah. I don't think he heard you.
Oh, no, I heard. I just not saying anything.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
I would be there, but that's the same weekend as the men's sports concert, so.
Yeah.
Ah. Everybody dance now! There we go. Yeah. So.
So yeah, that's been a lot of the stuff, and now these remaining days is just pulling stuff together. But yeah, like you said, Damon, I've actually recorded two YouTube video kind of news updates explaining some things that are happening with some stuff. So yeah, just trying to get it all put together, and I am very stoked and excited. But you know what? This episode is not about me. We should probably get on to what we're here to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not this yet. We got a couple other things.
Okay. So we got a little feedback from last week's from Stud Outlaw. I almost said Stud Out Loud again. Who commented on our last week episode with the BDSM panel with the fabulous Miss Tammy, the ethical Slut Allen, and the super hot Chess. Said, thanks, guys. I did learn a couple of things about BDSM. I like your podcasts because you guys are all over the place.
Yes.
So yes. We're just wacky. Actually, I think we're probably more focused than some of the other bear podcasts, such as like 619 Bearcast, which goes like everywhere.
Hey.
Love the show, though. Don't get me wrong.
I was going to say, don't be dissing the SD boys.
All I'm saying is that they go through more topics than we do in one show. So, they're more succinct, I suppose. But maybe it's, anyways. In any case.
Man.
Yes, absolutely. They're adorable. Over on Facebook, we got likes, a whole bunch of likes this week from David McElroy, Kendall Kelly. Who's Kendall?
Yeah, Kendall.
Wonder who Kendall. That guy is. Jonathan Arsenault, Timothy Stack, Jason Herndon, Rick Blair, and some guy named Jeff Rock Cubby the Second. I just nice. Took it right from the website. I don't know who this guy is. Somebody tried to imitate Jeff or something like that. Anyway,
there we go.
So, last but not least, Bear Underground, Leapway joined the Bear Underground group. And I really don't know anything about him when I take a look at the page, but that's okay.
That's all right.
Quick little thing, just movie moments, Game of Thrones season one. It's not a movie, but I got that on Blu-ray. Blu-ray, DVD, and a digital download. I didn't do what I did with the Wreck-It Ralph, but I did watch one of the digital download versions, one episode of that. One time when I was at work, I just watched it during lunch. It was nice. And then I've got the Blu-ray, so I could watch it on my big screen. So. Very, very recommended. Please pop over to CubsOutLoud.com if you like Game of Thrones Season 1. Just go ahead and click the link there. And then while you're there, also buy, like, a television set. because you might need a television set, maybe with Blu-ray player. Maybe you want to have some proof sound because you know the music from Game of Thrones. You know, that music is awesome. But you know what would be so much better? With a good sound setup. I'm just saying, it's probably a good idea to do that. Heck, you could also get Game of Thrones Season 2 from there while you're clicking through. And, yeah.
There you go.
Just saying. If you like, you could also probably get the extended editions of the Lord of the Rings sets, you know. Just some suggestions. Just click on the link from the website and shop yourself to death.
Anyway,
so that goes through our regular state scheme. I can speak really. I think with the hummus. British garlic hummus.
Ah.
Yeah, this is really good with wheat thins.
Yes, it is.
I tried the Triscuits, but not so much.
Yeah.
Really? Seriously?
Of course he had to do that. You should know that by now.
Demonstrating my love for hummus.
Podcast etiquette. You don't fucking eat on a microphone.
Yes, you do. And you're trying to demonstrate that you're eating. Anyways, moving on.
I thought you said hummer. I didn't even realize. I had to stop and think what hummus was.
No, hummus, as in like garbanzo beans.
Right. I just figured that out. I thought you were saying hummer.
I vote for hummer.
Yeah, I didn't know how crackers went with a hummer, but hey, whatever.
You gotta spread the smegma on something.
And we're done.
Well, that's the way I transition into our interview with the ever fabulous Rockup. At the beginning of the show, you listen to his version of You're the One That I Want. No one here actually heard it because I haven't played it yet for them, but everybody else will hear it at that time. So,
we know.
But just to let you know that. Anyways, Rock Cub. I'm probably just going to call you Rock Cub just so that there really isn't any confusion. As I said, that will probably not last. Gary is going to screw up somewhere.
Oh, surprise!
I will not. I will refer to the Rock Cub as the love of my life, as I always have.
Uh-huh.
All right, so I don't know where to start.
Well, why don't we start at the beginning? Why don't we start with this, Mr. Rock Cub? How did you get into doing what you do?
In general, or in the bear community?
Take one, then leap to the other. That's fine.
Well, I started playing guitar in 1979. And the first... Wow. Yeah, don't say nothing there, bitches. no, I did not have my driver's license yet. And it was the first band I was in. And I've been playing in bands ever since. And I started playing acoustic when I was in the Army, and mainly when I was overseas, and I lived in Germany for 4 years. And when I got back to Seattle, and I was stationed in Seattle, I started doing a lot of acoustic shows. So when I got out of the Army in 91, I began doing a lot of acoustic shows in the tri-state area, which is Cincinnati, Ohio, and Kentucky, is referring to where I'm at here. And then a country band wanted me to sing for them, and I was like, I don't listen to country. I don't do country. And my wife at the time loved country, so I was like, okay, yeah, I'll do this. So I played in that band almost 10 years, and then that band broke up, and then I ended up in another band, and at the same time, I met a guy online through a couple of other guys, mainly Elijah Black, and I met him, and he introduced me to Freddie Freeman, who is the founder of Bearpalooza. Had a big discussion with them about coming to Nashville and performing at the Bearpalooza show in, I think it was, I always get this confused, it was either 2008 or 2009, but I think we agreed it was 2008 when Freddie and I were just at TBRU last week in Dallas. So 2008, I played my first Bearpalooza show, was scared to death because I thought gay people and bears were going to be listening to a lot of dance music, and I didn't know how my brand of music was going to go over. And when I played the show, I realized, oh, everybody's not so different. So it was a nice awakening for me. And then the whole Bearpalooza thing was kind of interesting because I was and still am not completely out. I was very not out at that time. Since performing at Bear events, I have come out to my parents and a couple of other people. And that was after a life-changing event at a bear run, a very small, intimate bear run in Ogunquit with a guy named Gordon Michaels, who ran Bears by the Sea for a number of years. Huh. I spent about five days performing and being who I was and am, and came home, and when I flew back into Cincinnati, I was felt like I was flying back into a box. Oh. And that was on a Tuesday. By Friday, I was hyperventilating and tearing up and crying like a little bitch at work and having a lot of issues, and I took off half a day, drove to Indiana, and told my mom, you do know that John and I are a couple, right? And she said, no, I did not, but that would explain a lot. So that was like 2009 when that happened, and I'd been with my partner since 1996.
Wow.
And we lived together since 97, and they didn't know.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the abbreviated version, the paperback version, maybe.
Wow.
So there's a whole lot of other details, but a couple of real life-changing events playing music in the bear community that have allowed me to discover myself as much as share my music and my artistry with people that are willing to listen and enjoy, I guess.
Kind of answered my first question, which was, how did you get connected with Bearpalooza?
Yeah, we struggled with that. Freddie and I struggled with that. I sat on the back deck here at the house in Cincinnati and had a number of conversations with Freddie, and I knew that Bearpalooza was an organization or an umbrella for a lot of musicians who are out and proud and so on and so forth. And when I talked to him, I was like, I am not out. And I would fully understand if you guys were like, yeah, that's not what we're really about, and you're not going to fit in. And I was fully expecting that. I was fully, you know, because – and I've had people say this to where I am – they're like, yeah, you're kind of getting the best of both worlds. You're dabbling in the bear community, and then you have this straight, quote-unquote, persona – that you do, and it's not fake. It's not, I mean, I like last night, Kendall happens to be in town for a show we have tonight in Northside, and he came out to see me perform with the band last night, who does not know that I am gay nor in the bear community that I know of. If they do, there's no one has said a word, and people say, oh, they know, and I'm like, I don't think they do. And it's not so much the band I'm worried about finding out as it is the country community is not so full and accepting of, you know, gay men. You know, I think women get a little more leniency as they do in the entire world with being gay or whatever, lesbian or whatever you want to call it. But but I was fully expecting Freddie to tell me, you know, yeah, that's not what we're about. It's not going to work with what we're doing. But he called me back a few days later and he says, you know, why don't you come down? He's like, I think you can learn from us and we could learn from you. So it's been a nice little marriage, and I've done quite a few Bearpalooza shows, and that has also catapulted me into doing my own shows, feeling enough confidence to where I can go out and just perform as Rock Cub without feeling like I have to be with six other Bearpalooza members to feel secure enough to do a show. So it's been really nice.
Yeah. I think the first time I saw Rock Cub was Bears on the Run. Tour, and it was here. It was at a coffee shop. I don't even know. I think they brought you in because you were local.
I knew Elijah, and they were like, you know, can't pay you because we're struggling as it is. Because I think there were like six of them in a van.
Yeah,
and I live real close to there. And what's really ironic is my partner and I, neither one are out. That building used to be his dentist office years ago, and. So that was really interesting to go in that little coffee shop. Zen and Now, I think it was called.
Yeah.
Still is.
Yeah. It was a fun little show, really intimate. And it worked. And it was, I think, my first time seeing you. And it was a great freaking show. And that was, oh God, that was like Babalu and you and Elijah and someone else. Kendall. Yeah.
Kendall, yes. So. And Josh, is it Josh Lloyd? Hope I got his name right. The fiddle player who used to be in Texas. I think he was in Austin. And I just, after I seen him in New York at the 10th anniversary of Bearpalooza, I think he is in, I want to say, Pennsylvania.
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia, yeah.
Yeah, I should know. I was one of his ex-roommates.
Oh, okay.
Well, ain't that 6 degrees of separation?
Wow.
Alrighty. Yeah.
Anyway. It's getting cold in here.
Well, maybe you should put some clothes on.
Never.
It's not like I have any problem. I just noticed that. Okay. I just know that he was here because one of the main reasons was he was a ex-roommate. That's all.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So, Jeff, you were saying that you meet Freddie, and then you've done Bearpalooza and that kind of stuff, and you've branched out a bit. And if I recall correctly, you and Kendall last year did a little stint of a tour called Two Bears, One Van.
Yes. Yes, we are kind of creating our own little brand off to the side of – people are confused about – not confused, but I think there's a lot of people that don't know what Bearpalooza is, and it's basically everybody thinks it's a band, and it's just an umbrella for musicians. So after Kendall and I met, we had done a few songs together at different events, including two of the shows for Bears on the Run, and we just kind of talked about doing some shows of our own. Didn't know what to call it, and I think we got a spinoff of the Two Girls, One Cup or something. I don't even know what that is, and I'm kind of scared to know what that is. But we decided to call it Two Bears, One Van. And ever since then, shows that we do together are going to be considered that brand. Because you know when you see that, eventually you know the logo. You'll know the logo, and you'll know it's Kendall and I. But we did, I think it was supposed to be 11 cities in 12 days, and we ended up doing 10 cities in 12 days because we had to cancel one date because of, we'll call it...
an incident.
And it wasn't so much an incident as it was a trust. It's kind of like the trust fall that people do. It was like I kind of leaned back, and we didn't feel real trustworthy of certain situations, so we decided to pull out of a certain city, and then we just stayed in Nashville an extra day, and then that was kind of nice because we did an impromptu. All the Freddie and the guys were in town, and Kendall and I did our show at one venue, and then Freddie and Jay and I want to say, I don't know if it was Sean and Charlie Brown, Members of Fuzzface. They did an after hours party, and then the next day, Bert, who was hosting Kendall and I for the evening, letting us stay at his home, we all met at his house and had a neighborhood cookout slash didn't cook out, but we did an impromptu living room concert, which I don't know if that led into what's going on now with Kendall or not, but it kind of led into, we just all sat around, and including the hot neighbor who was married, who sang and played guitar and did a very provocative song about a man in a boat or something. I can't remember. So, the Two Bears, One Van, we've done some one-off shows. We just did a Lexington. The problem is we're trying to make people understand now is just because we do a show doesn't mean we're doing a tour, because the tour went really well, except for when we got robbed in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
So.
But that was probably my fault. I would say at this point it's probably 90% my fault. I think I might have left the vehicle unsecure. I'm not sure. But shit happens, and then we moved on.
Yeah.
Because karma's a bitch. If you're walking around in my harness and you're walking around in my blue shoes and my shirt that BearT-Shirts.com gave me for the tour, and you have a couple of JBL speakers, I hope the ship blows up and I hope the harness gets too tight and chokes your ass. Whoever that stole that shit in, not that I'm bitter or anything, but if you're in Oklahoma City and you're wearing that shit, you know, can I say fuck you on here?
Yes, you can say fuck you.
Yes.
Fuck you. Luckily they didn't steal the vehicle, the rental, so that would have sucked.
Yeah. Wow. Not bitter at all there. No.
Not at all. Not at all. Not at all.
Nope. He's just letting it go. He's letting karma dish it out.
Well, I've learned a lot, so.
Cool.
I've grown up. A little.
Well, the one thing I'm proud of is my involvement with the community over the years, and having put on, the run up here in Erie, is I've met a lot of great people, and Freddie and Jay and the whole gang, including you and Kendall, have been a part of that. You've become part of my family, so I'm super excited and proud that you guys are branching and trying and doing new and different things. And speaking of which, you guys did something like you're kind of incubating this little thing, kind of experimenting. From what I heard at TBRU, you guys did a little something on the side that was not your normal gig. You want to talk about that?
Kendall had done some living room concerts, and I've heard about the living room shows or whatever. And I know Tom Goss, who also does shows, or he travels the country, and then people bring him into their home and do what's called house concerts or whatever, living room concerts. And Kendall had done one, and Kendall's performance art also leads into a lot of nudity. And of course, when you bring that up, the first thing people think about is, oh, I'm going to get to see somebody naked, you know, which is true. But once people get past it, it's kind of like the nude beach thing. When I first went to a nude beach years ago, I wanted to go for obvious reasons. I wanted to see naked guys. And and then after I went there and became more comfortable with myself and feeling comfortable in my own skin, it was kind of like, oh, I just kind of like being naked outside. And now the whole novelty and eroticism and, you know, once I get past that 19-year-old mentality, where the hormones are taking over, you get past that, it's kind of like, oh, so I'm kind of okay being me. So Kendall did this naked show somewhere. He asked me if I would do a Naked Bears singing concert in a room in the last day of the run at Drenched Fur. And I kicked it around, and I thought, you know, people are just going to, you know, it's going to be kind of whatever, they're going to come in, it's going to be awkward, it's going to be, you know, people are just going to, they're not going to pay attention to the music, they're just going to want to see naked people and blah, blah. And it's like, it's not a sex party, it's not about that. And so I said, yeah, it might be good for me to do this. And all of a sudden we're at TBRU, and at TBRU we had Jay, and then Jay and well, two J's. I guess we have to figure out who, which J. We have two Jeffs here. So we had two J's there, and Freddie and myself and Kendall. And Kendall's like, I think we already had done three shows. We did three shows. TBRU booked us, and it was so awesome. We did a show Thursday night, Saturday afternoon, and Friday afternoon, and not in that order. And he asked if I'd do a naked show, and we all sit down and talked about it. And we were like, yeah, that's okay, let's do this. And so the last, on Saturday afternoon, he announces on stage, we need a suite. If somebody's got a suite and is willing to host a Naked Bear singing concert, let us know. We had two people come to us, and we checked out both rooms. And we decided, we picked the one not at the host hotel, and set it for 8 o'clock. And we get over there, and we're sitting there, and we're talking about it. And I said, you know, if we get naked first, and when people come in, they have to make the decision whether or not they're going to get naked. And it's not a prerequisite. If you feel comfortable, you can. And if you don't, you don't have to. It's not about that. But it's stripping away all of our costumes. People say I do cowboy drag because I do. I feel different. If I play in a T-shirt and a pair of shorts and play music, I feel completely different on stage than I do if I'm wearing my cowboy hat and a shirt that I, you know, not a Western shirt, but just a button-up shirt and cowboy boots. I feel different. I feel different on stage. And it's, you know, I think I would relate it to be maybe someone can expand on this. But if you're on stage, you're in a play. I've never done plays. But if you're in a costume, you're going to portray yourself differently than you would if you were just standing on stage talking to somebody.
Very true.
So stripping us down and taking away all of our clothes, taking away our security blankets, leaves you very vulnerable. It leaves you like, here I am completely naked as an artist. And you are just getting my music, you know. I don't. It's not a matter of seeing my dick or how big or how small my dick is or how fat I am, how furry I am, how tall I am, how short I am. You are just getting me naked to the bone, so to say. And pardon the puns there. But so we made the decision to get naked before anybody got there. And what I found interesting is the older gentleman, as old as I am and or older, came in, went to the other room, took off their clothes, came in, brought a towel. We asked everybody, you know, sit on a towel and on the furniture. And they came in, they sat down, and we just started talking and having conversations like we are now. And the younger guys came in. And by that time, most of the seats were taken, so they were sitting on the floor against the wall, and they were. I noticed they were clothed, and they just kind of sat around and were talking, and I felt very comfortable at this particular point, and I was kind of holding my guitar. That's my last line of defense, is even on stage, whether I'm clothed or not, I feel different if I'm playing guitar and if I don't play guitar. So I'm holding my guitar, and we're talking and carrying on conversations, and Kendall starts the show off fully dressed. And he does his song, Clothes Get in the Way. And, of course, throughout that song, he strips down to nothing. What I had noticed is we did this round robin kind of singer in the round thing, because Kendall's such performance art, and the rest of us were all singer-songwriters. So Kendall's up dancing, and you know, he's fully naked. He did a monologue, which totally touched my heart, and I totally seen him completely different. And I think it was unplanned. We haven't talked about it yet. Where he kind of gave a story of his life while jumping rope naked. And when you first see him start this, it is kind of amusing. Like, he's actually going to be jumping rope naked. So, yes, things are going to be flopping. So once you get past that and you start listening to him, you've gotten past the whole nakedness of him. Now you're not distracted by anything else, and you're listening to the words coming out of his mouth. And he's talking about his life and everything. Literally, if you know Kendall's background, and I won't get into it because it's not for me to discuss, but he completely told his life story to the point where he collapsed to the floor at a very dramatic part of his life. And the look on people's faces was amazing. I seen one guy bow his head and almost cry. And then Kendall stood up and he said, but I didn't die. And I was like, holy fuck. And then he continued on. And he's like, and then, so he told this whole monologue, and then it went, ran around the room, and I played a song that I haven't really played for anybody called High Horse. And I wrote High Horse a couple of years ago for the band, and we were going to record this whole album, this concept album. And High Horse is about me hearing rumors through the rumor mill about myself. And I don't think these people intended for me to get the word back. And it was pretty malicious. It happened at a bear run. People were saying I was doing things that I wasn't doing. And I fully expect that, being in somewhat of a light at these events. People, for whatever reasons, talk. And I think they do that regardless as if you're on a stage or not. People talk behind people's backs. And I'm always a person, if you've got something to say, I never say anything about anybody that I wouldn't say to their face. So I got word that people were talking shit, and I wrote a song called High Horse. In other words, it's karma, bitch. So when you get knocked off your high horse and I'm standing over top of you laughing at you, fuck you. So nice. Not that I'm bitter. Not that I'm bitter at all. And, yeah. But what's interesting is I played that song. Immediately, as soon as I got done, a gentleman said, this is interesting that you played that song. And he read a growler post about how the show was so lame. Somebody had came into the show and left immediately. They weren't there that long. Not even sure if they knew I was there or not. But they proceeded to tell the entire TBR community. They paid for a growler shout to tell everybody in the Dallas area how lame the show was. It was like being at a nude campfire or something without the campfire. And it was so cold that Kendall's dick looked like a mushroom button.
Oh,
so I'm thinking, wow. Were you expecting a sex party? What were you expecting? Because I'm okay if you don't like what I do, if you don't like what we do, if you don't like our music, if you don't like the show. I'm okay with that. I don't expect everybody to like what I, you know, somebody that loves what Kendall does may hate what I do and vice versa. And I'm okay with that. You don't have to like what I do. It's just like a television channel. If you don't like it, turn the channel. If you don't like what's in the room, shut the door, bitch, and hope it doesn't hit you in the ass on the way out. Not that I'm bitter. So that was around 10 o'clock. We got that growler shout, and we were all like flabbergasted at this. What the fuck is this? And why is he personally attacking Kendall?
Yeah.
And so the show went on, and I am fuming. I am furious. I'm livid. I kept looking at my phone, and I thought, I'm going to prove a point. I am going to post this guy's picture, and I'm going to totally talk about why we treat each other like shit. And it came right after I divulged this song that totally talks about that. So the show's over. A bunch of us go out to eat for pizza. We're sitting around, and I get the best email or private message on Growler from a young cubbish guy from, I want to say, Albuquerque, about how he was going to leave. And what's funny is I remembered him because he came in, he was fully dressed. He started watching the show fully dressed. Midway through the show, he got up, went in the other room, took off his clothes, came back in, sat down naked, and he was kind of snuggled up or leaning up against this big teddy bear from, I think, Australia, and they were just watching the show. And I thought, that's so cute. It's so adorable. Because that was as the show progressed, a lot of the younger guys went in the other room, took off their clothes, came back and sat down. He wrote a message about how this changed his life, how he felt like he fit in. He was going to leave TBRU with a chip on his shoulder that he didn't fit in, and so on and so forth. And I was almost in tears at the fact that I had been part of something that completely changed somebody's outlook on themselves or helped. Which is what's happened to me. Bear events have changed my outlook, being comfortable, even like at Drenched Fur. I don't know what it is at some of the other big events where I know I talk to a lot of guys at events, and, you know, big guys, big furry fat guys don't want to go to the water park. They love the water, but they don't want to go with all the kids and kids mocking them or people mocking them about their size. And it's just, we're so hateful. We talk about bullying in this day and age, and we refer to kids, and it's like, it's not just kids. It's grown ass adults that should know better.
Amen.
And, mm-hmm. So just reading this Cubs post about how he completely felt different after the show, I was beside myself. I couldn't believe it. So the next day I got up and I'm still fuming at the other post. And then Kendall and I started talking about it in the room. And every time I tried to make a post on Facebook throughout that night and in the morning, I kept getting blocked. Somebody would interrupt me. For some reason, I couldn't make this post that I was going to prove a point and I was going to, you know, bust this guy out and make an example of him and how you're not supposed to treat people. And then Kendall said a few things to me and we talked and we're both in the room crying and talking about the show. And he was like, Jeff, I've never seen you this honest and open about yourself and about how you feel. He's like, that's the shit you should be posting on Facebook. You know, let go of doing the same thing to this guy that he's done to you. So in a turn, I was getting ready to do the same exact thing to him, only with documented proof that he did to me.
Huh.
So on the way back, on the flights back, I started writing songs, and I've written like 10 songs since TBRU. And it's just been amazing. It completely changed my outlook on myself about how I'm tired of lying about who I really am, about if you don't like me the way I am, that's fine. You don't have to, but you don't need to be hateful about it, and you can just move on, and we can choose to coexist by not, you know, we don't have to be friends. Fuck you. So, not that I'm bitter.
Not that you're bitter. No. No.
So I don't know if that answers your question. That was my hour and a half tirade on
it kind of did.
But, I mean, the Naked Concerts are supposed to be like a stripped-down version. You know, on stage, Kendall's got a ton of costume changes. I've got my cowboy dress-up thing, which, you know, I sing country rock. And that's who I am. One part of me, that's who I am. But when we strip down to nothing and you just get the music, you're just getting us. You're getting us. You're getting our true songs. We're going to talk about why we wrote the songs. And we're not trying to, quote, entertain you, per se, as we would on stage. And we want the audience. Kendall made a great statement. I said, I was watching the room, and I said, I was looking around, and I was much a spectator and audience member as they were. And Kendall said, you know, I was more of an audience member than they were. He says, if nothing else, I was the audience at my own show. Huh. And I thought that was so revealing. So I'm hoping that the Drenched Fur, the next one will be a Drenched Fur. And then Kendall's actually going out on the road doing Clothes Get in the Way Tour, I think is what he's going to call it. And he's put it out there to do shows in people's living rooms and basements and, in, you know, wherever, in intimate shows. It's not a sex thing. It's not about – it's not a body thing. It's just here I am in complete, you know – I'm just completely revealing myself to you. And you guys, if you want to learn something or listen or hear what's going on, here we are. And so I'm hoping at Drenched Fur in 2 weeks that we get a nice response. And it'll be Sunday afternoon, I believe. And I think he has secured a suite. And we were going to charge. My first impression was like, yeah, bitches want to come see this. And they're going to come in and Google. Them bitches are paying, you know. And then after the TBRU experience, it's not about money. It's not about anything other than sharing our art in a way that makes everybody on the same plane. We're all equal, you know, not that anybody's ever better than anybody else, but, you know, being on stage is a little different experience than just being sitting around playing our music for people who really want to listen and be a part of that experience. So it's an entirely different experience.
Yeah. Sounds great. I'm kind of hating that I won't get to see it. Well, maybe I will. Maybe I'll at least Kendall's side of it, because I'm sure I have friends here in town that if they know, they might be able to host the couch indoor thing. Robin Terry, Rock Cub.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Robin Terry. They've hosted Tom Goss. They've hosted you.
Yes.
And granted, that's on their back patio. I don't know if a naked bear singing.
Yeah, just work. From being there, there's way too many neighbors that can see into the backyard. So
yeah,
it would have to be inside.
Yeah, but they could probably do that. Well, maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
I've thought about hosting it here, but just with what's going on personally with me and the things that have changed over the past couple of weeks with my husband, I'm probably in for a completely different experience the next 3 or 4 months. So I'm not going to commit to something that I wouldn't be able to pull off.
Yeah, so. Understandable. But I may. Now I'm thinking. Sorry.
And it doesn't have to be a large. We're not looking for large venues. It's something we're talking 20 people probably max, depending on the room. I mean, we may get a more overwhelming thing with it, but it's very intimate. Very, you know, Kendall obviously needs a little bit more room to perform than I do, but and you might want to put your lamps in, you know, off to the side so they don't get. But you know.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah, when Kendall got a hold of me a couple weeks ago, month or two ago, about this idea, being good friends, he was running it past me. He's like, here's this thing, and I want to try, and I've kind of done. And we talked it out. And the one thing I said, and Jeff, I'm glad you've been very clear about it, is, you know, when you advertise and you promote and you call this thing Naked Bears Singing, there's an understanding that people are going to have a you know, purient kind of, you know, interest in that stuff. And I told him, I said, that was my only concern is I don't want folks to think that we're endorsing and hosting an orgy. And I'm not saying that I have any problems with those events. I'm just saying that that's not what it is. And I wouldn't want people to show up and think there's going to be this sex party and then be all like, what the hell's this? You know, or confused and that kind of stuff.
Right.
So.
Yeah, because that's not what it's about.
That won't become an issue.
Yeah, that's not what it's about at all. It's not. It's about being comfortable. And if you want to view it, we're trying not to make people feel like it's a requirement that they too get naked, because that's not what it has to be. If you like I said, I was amazed, and I would expect the older generation are a little bit more. I mean, we're talking people, you know, 70s, not 70 years old, but from the 70s, who were a little more free love. And there probably are some people 70s, but that generation, I think, is a little more comfortable with who they are. And there, some people are, you know, they're okay. They tend to be a little more okay with being naked and just being themselves. And then the younger generation has still got that testosterone filled hormone thing going on, where it's like, yeah, I don't, you know, what if I get hard, or what if I don't get hard? And what if I'm looked to, you know, and it's like, let it go. We don't care. We don't care what, you know.
I think there's a musical or something like that called Naked Boys Singing.
Mm-hmm. I think it's, yeah.
And it's just,
oh, experience. There is.
Yeah.
I have, we watched that as one for CL Movies one time.
Yeah. And it just, you know, you know, like you said, once you kind of get past the whole there's a naked man or a naked bear in front of you and really, you know, listen to it, it's very intense and very intimate. Right. And I wouldn't expect if someone said, like, well, like the way you posted it, we're going to have we're going to do this thing in some guy's room, and it's going to be, you know, you know, the guys are going to be naked. Yeah, my first initial, you know, gut reaction is like, you know, naked guys in a room. You know, there's going to be a bunch of naked guys in a room. Right. Oh, they're going to be singing. Okay, that's cool. Whatever.
I think you know what it is really about is separating and removing, theoretically, the hormonal aspect of it.
Right.
Gay men are, well, men, period.
Yes, thank you. Regardless of
your sexuality, are just hormonal, more so than you know, you know, women, I guess, if you want to compare genders. And the reality is, I think that's where the brain kind of goes.
I think women, I honestly think women are the same way. I have worked a lot of jobs, especially factory jobs, since I got out of the service. And I didn't know what rimming was. I found out from a woman who was talking, three sisters and this other lady were at the end of my line. I supervised a line, and they're down there cackling and laughing and going on. And I'm like, what the hell are you guys laughing about? And they're like, oh, she was just talking about licking her husband's ass. And my initial response was, that's fucking gross. And she was like, honey, I'm going to tell you what, if you've ever had it done, she said, especially if I do it, she said, you will love it. And I was beside myself. I was like, and these chicks constantly talking about, they talked like sailors. And I was in the Army, so I've heard the way guys talk, you know, being out in, you know, wherever in Germany or wherever in the desert, and the conversations that go on. And the women I've been around in factories, they talk just like men do. They talk about sex and they talk about what they did last night. And I think because I kind of come from both backgrounds, you know, I talk to some guys that don't. They're like, oh, vagina, I'm so grossed out. And it's like, you know, it's, I think we're all the same. I really think, you know, as human beings, we all have that sexual drive. We all talk shit about somebody at some point in our lives. We all do the same bullshit that we need to get over. All of us, every single one of us, be it man, woman, fat, skinny, furry, tall, thin, no hair at all, dick 6 inches long, 12 inches long, or an inch long. It doesn't fucking matter. Mm-hmm. It really doesn't fucking matter. And if you treat people like human beings, like you'd like to be treated, and get over your own damn insecurities, we would be so much better off. And it's just amazing to me to watch people treat people like shit and then wonder why they get treated like shit. And I'm like, yeah, karma's a bitch. And I'm stepping off my pedestal. I just really have been fired up since TBRU. It's just been, I feel so good. I feel amazing. And this Naked Bears thing was another huge catalyst for seeing myself in a different light. And then seeing, like Kendall said, I watched everybody in the room and their expressions on their face. I don't even think I seen a dick in the room, to be quite honest with you. I told Kendall, my first thought was to not, I didn't want to look down. I didn't want to do that. I kind of told myself I'm not going to do that. And then after it got started, I just didn't. It wasn't even an issue. I wasn't looking at somebody's dick. And it was amazing to me to not do that. You know, when we want to do, you know, when we're like, oh, yeah. Like last night, there was definitely some dicks in the building that I would love to have seen last night, you know, and there was some hot ass firemen, you know, and it, yes. And I mean, that kind of plays into the whole, if you've been on my Facebook pages, I have the unsuspecting bear folders that I catch hell over because I take pictures of guys that I see just randomly anywhere that I am assuming aren't into other men. And guys at gas stations, and I'm thinking he's hot as fuck. And I take his picture, and then I post it on my unsuspecting bear page on Facebook. And then people are like, you shouldn't be doing that. And I'm like, but he is fucking beautiful. Everything about him is amazing. The size of him, the jawline, his face, his beard, his ass, his whatever, his daddiness, his cubness, whatever. I think it's beautiful. It's like looking at a mountain with the snow and the fucking sky, and it's just, it's fucking beautiful. Now, if I could walk up to the guy and say, dude, I think you're the hottest thing since, you know, banana cream pie, can I get your picture? If his society wasn't so ass backwards and he could go, yeah, sure. But he might get pissed off and punch me in the face, you know, and it's because of how we all are, you know, most guys that big shit, gay or straight, have no clue that there's other individuals that find them so attractive. I see it in the gay community. I see it at straight events where women come to the show, they hit on me 1 week, and a month later they show up with a hot guy that I'm like, Jesus, she's got the same taste in men that I do. And I find that to be completely amazing that, you know, nobody would ever like me. I went through that bullshit. Nobody would ever like me. Nobody's going to want to look at me. Now I'm in the gay community. No guy's ever going to want to be with me. You know, is my dick too little? I'm not furry enough. I went through all that. I went through every bit of that. And people are like, you? And I'm like, yes, me. Just because I'm on stage hiding behind my clothes and my guitar doesn't mean I don't have or didn't. I still have some, but I have all these insecurities to where I just never thought anybody would ever take me seriously. Nobody would ever want to be with me. And I've been with my partner for 17 years. So I think that's – I think I need to finally learn that, you know, I'm okay. I'm okay with clothes or without clothes on.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to argue with that. but in all seriousness, I will say this, Jeff, what you talk about is that it's the journey. I think that some of us are really blessed or humbled by having that scope and that experience, and that's why I put on the run. You know, this is going to be our ninth year. Back when I started this up with John Riley, who had the idea about the water park, you know, it was just getting people together to have a good time and to be social. And that's always been my focus behind it. Yet at the same time, I want people to feel accepted, you know, and we've had a Facebook thread conversation going on right now with this whole, you know, will I be accepted? 'Cause I don't think I'm, you know, a bear or a cub or whatever.
Right. See that had like 80. The last time I looked, I seen that had like 80 comments on it.
Yeah.
Some shit like that.
Yeah. And well, there's one on there. I'm trying to remember offhand. I think it's got almost 1,000 comments now.
Oh, and, shit.
It's kind of crazy. But it all started up about. Yeah, it's 700 and over 750. It says, hoping it's an otter chaser friendly group of guys. And this guy that's coming has been to some other runs and he hasn't necessarily felt he's been accepted. And my committee and I are very much, you know, trying to provide an environment where that happens. And, you know, and there's some responsibility, you know, you got to bring it to play the game, so to speak. You just can't show up and expect things to happen. You have to participate.
Yes.
Which is, you know, go talk to people, interact with them, you know, and that kind of stuff. And take it from a person who's been a wallflower in his life. I'm not the one that always walks up and interacts with everybody and does that kind of stuff and have dealt with my acceptance first with being gay and then 8 years later with knowing about the bear community and doing that kind of stuff. So I think what you're talking about that you've experienced, and especially this new project that you and Kendall are doing with the Naked Bear Singing, is about letting people know you can just be you. And that's all it is.
Yes.
Very, very true. that's a topic for another show.
that very much it is.
Yeah. Cool.
So with all that said, Jeff, what's your other stuff you've got coming up? Have you got events besides obviously the run in 2 weeks?
Yeah, I've got – well, of course, we're going to do the Naked Show at Transfer. And then we had kicked around we're waiting on something from Bear Pride to come back. I'm not sure whether that's going to come through or not. But aside from that, I've got – 2 or 3 shows in Las Vegas over July 4th weekend. Wes and the guys from out there in Vegas are bringing me out to do their little get together at the Blue Moon. I want to say saloon, but that's not it. The Blue Moon Resort. And everybody's like, oh, July in Vegas, you're going to be burning up. But I'm going to sing and I'm going to jump in the pool and I'm going to be naked because I think it's clothing option resort. And I probably will be looking there. I will be like, oh, that's a nice dick. You know, I've got that coming on. I've got a show in P-Town for Bear Week on Wednesday night of Bear Week at 7 p.m. Gordon Michaels and I will be doing our intimate show at Enzo's Grotto Bar, which is so cool. It's such a great venue. And so I need to push that. And if we get half the show sold out, we're secured. If we have to sell that out by mid-April, if we sell it out by May, I think we're going to add a second show. I've got a show in at the campground Freedom Valley that's coming up. I've also got a show back at Roy's Hideaway down in Georgia for the bear group that's brought me down there. And what am I forgetting? I'm forgetting something. There's another one. Oh, I got asked by Joe Dog, was a shout out, to perform at Charleston, West Virginia, for Pride on, I think, Friday night and Sunday afternoon. And I think he's trying to get Tom Goss to come down for that. I'm not sure. So I got a little bit of traveling going on. I had some feelers out at other venues and stuff, and I'm kind of got a fold up schedule. I'm booked into November. I just booked February 15th for Valentine's Day next year.
Wow.
For the band. And so between the band and my solo bear community schedule, I've got a lot going on. I'm trying to figure out when to get back in the studio and actually do some stuff. I had a gentleman ask me to do some music for a podcast he was working on, and I still need to pull my head out of my ass and come up with something creative for that. So,
you know, it's understandable. You got a lot of things going on.
Yeah.
So
you're busy.
I'm looking at your Bear 401 profile.
Yeah, you can actually check out my schedule
on the Bear 401 profile. But I am not endorsing Bear 401. I'm just,
well, if you don't want to, you can go. Actually, the better place to go would be to ReverbNation.com/rockcub, and that's got videos, music. There's a couple of free downloads. There's a couple of downloads you can purchase, and there is my tour schedule. For the bear community.
There we go.
Just the bear community, not to be to confuse it up with a lot of the local band stuff, but the bear community that's all up to date, except for I don't know that I've put the Pride thing up there yet for West Virginia. I still have to get that solidified, dates and times, but other than that, everything should be on there.
Cool.
And Jeff, you're on Facebook.
I am on Facebook. That's why there is a Rock Cub 2 now, because I woke up one morning and my first Facebook profile had over 6,000 people that were all of a sudden friends of mine. And most of those I didn't know. And I am fine with that. I'm completely fine with that, because from a marketing standpoint, it's awesome. But from another standpoint, I love to get to know people. And the more people I get to know, the better I get to know myself. So I'm all about meeting people. So I created Rock Cub 2, which is now you can join me there, because Facebook has locked me down on the first one, the Facebook police. And then you can't add Rock Cub as a friend. You have to do Rock Cub 2.
Ah.
So that's why, and in the same profile, I post the same stuff to both profiles. I get people that are on Rock Cub 1 that are trying to join Rock Cub 2, and that kind of defeats the purpose.
Guilty.
I think I did that.
And it's okay. I have some bleed over. That's fine. You know, but I started like really trying to keep an eye on it here recently, because all of a sudden I'm going to have two profiles with 6,000 people, and it's all the same people. So it's like I have to monitor that. And I just got another one today, and I was like, I have to send them a message and say, hey, you're already, it's the same profile. It's for other people to join because they can't get on the first one. Hmm. So that's kind of why I have that second profile.
Cool.
Well, I look forward to when you have to create Jeff Rock Cubby 2 or 3. I mean,
that would be awesome.
Second one's filled up.
So, just make a page.
I have one, but nobody ever goes there.
Nice.
And I put it out there, hey, join me at Rock Cub Music, and nobody goes there. I think I have like 60 people or something. So, you know, with Facebook, how they change everything every 5 minutes, you know, it's hard to get, and that's the last thing I think people want to do. Plus, I think it's kind of impersonal. I kind of use that as an information page. It's not really an interaction page, and I would rather be very interactive with people, because that's how I want people to be with me. I don't want to be over here going, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at my music. Please buy my music. Please buy my T-shirts. Please, if you get a chance, stop over here and check out my dates and come to my concerts. Blah, blah, blah. I would rather get to know people. And even if you don't like what I do, we can still get to know each other and hang out and have a drink and maybe go to Drenchford together. Ooh. So,
hell yeah.
Cool.
So that's,
and just for the record, Mr. Rock Cub, you actually have 175 likes on your page.
Oh, I should check that out and see. It's gone up a little bit.
Yeah, you should probably do something about promoting that.
I do. I put it out there, but then nobody. It's like I do all this work, and then two people like it, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's. I'll just maybe. Like I invite friends. It's this. I don't understand it because it's the same people I've invited before. Hmm. It gives me the option to invite all these people. I'm on there now, and I'm inviting the same people, like Wolfer from St. Louis.
St. Louis. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I have invited him like 50 times. Freddie Wolfer. Freeman, I'm inviting you to join my Rock Cub music page again. Bruiser Bear, Christopher Thornton, and Mike, Bob Bruner, Clint Taylor. Please, please, Clint, please. Kendall Kelly, join my Rock Cub music page, bitch. Let's do a naked concert, but I don't want to like your page.
That's too funny.
You can maybe add it to the...
I don't know if, like I said, I don't even think Facebook is... I don't think it sends this shit to people. I think it's asking me to do all this. And so I'm inviting, it gives me the people from whichever profile, because I'm an admin from both of my profiles. So potentially I could have 7,000 people liking this. I go through it and I click on it and then I get like one a week. And so I don't even know if the way Facebook is set up, if people even see my invite to them after I click invite. So I don't know. I don't know how Facebook is working.
Well, one thing I will say is you're probably handling things different than what I'm aware of or my perception of, say, celebrities. I follow some of them and they have a page and they have a profile, but their profile is very strictly locked down to like immediate friends and family.
Right.
And so they force the mass population of the world to deal with the page and not the profile.
Right.
And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I just think it's the way they handle it. And you being so open and available to reach out and contact and Damon, you know what? I'm trying to be nice about this. But no, I think you very much care about your fan base and interacting and that kind of stuff. And so hence you had to create a second profile.
Yeah, I just like I said, I like to interact with people how I like to be interacted with. I like to be treated just like I like, you know, would expect to be treated. I'd like to treat other people the same way. And so, you know, I don't know. I like to interact with people, and I try to talk to, you know, if somebody sends me a message, I try to get back to them. I have other people contacting me going, I've tried to contact this other person, and can you ask them what's going on? And I'm like, you know, I can't speak for anybody else, and I don't have a lot of time to ask 15 other people why they're not talking to you. I can mention it, but that's I feel awkward going, you know, hey, Rock Cub One, why aren't you talking to Paul? And it's like... Rock Cub One's like, cause he's an asshole, and then me and Rock Cub One get into an argument, and then we're naked, rolling around on the floor, and just like, what? So that was confusing. I'm confused.
Nope, not confusing at all. I have an image in my head, and it's
nice.
It's real purdy.
My split personality is going at it, so. God, if I could do that, I may not have to leave the house, though.
Oh, goodness.
Yay. So, no, I really appreciate the time you guys are taking to even interview me to talk about what I'm doing to find out, you know, what's important to me. And what is important to me is basically the rest of the community and just humanity. I mean, that sounds kind of weird and I don't know. Could sound trite, I don't know, but I mean seriously, I've learned a lot the last 5 years, at least the last 5 years, and I've had a very amazing journey. I hear so many horror stories about people who have been beaten or people who have been treated like crap by a spouse or drug and alcohol abuse. And people, the Adam kid from New Mexico talking about his situation to where somebody called the police on him and people are trying to change him and not make so he can't be gay. And I'm like, what? Yeah. You know, when I told my mom and then she told my father the same situation. She told my father, you do know Jeff and John are a couple. And he said, well, yeah. So my father knew and completely freaked me out. And they are so welcome. They were like, we really like John. He's welcome at the house anytime. We really love him. And they've been very supportive and they've helped us out. Here recently, it's you know, they've been here for me and even with stuff that they have. My father just recently had the same week that my husband went in the hospital, my father had triple bypass surgery. So I was running to two different hospitals every day. And with my husband being diagnosed with cancer, it's just been the outpouring of support. I even debated on saying anything in the bear community and. Rob and Terry, for instance, really helped me out because I was conflicted about going to TBRU. And I was like, he's in the hospital. He's going to be having chemo. But he and I talked about it. And, you know, I was waiting for somebody to really say something negative to me about, oh, you're down here at TBRU doing this and doing that and partying it up. Well, and that's not what it was about. And just the opposite happened to me. And then it's just like he and I talked about it before. And he was like, you need to go do this. You're under contract. You know, it's not just it'd be different if I was just had a ticket and I was going as a participant and, you know, I could get a refund. It would be completely different. But as an entertainer and as somebody that's got stuff going on, there's certain obligations that have to be met. Now, if he was in a more critical situation, then I'd have been like, yeah, guys, sorry. Shit out of luck. That's like, for instance, April 1st, April Fool's Day. I just found out that whole week I am locked down. I have jury duty for 2 weeks, so I can't go anywhere after April 1st. And so.
Got to do your civic duty.
Right. No comment from Gary on that one?
I'm just sitting here taking it in and
but I got it deferred. I got by just so Gary knows I will be at Drenched Fur. But I thought it was very ironic that I got selected for jury duty the week of Drenched Fur. So I don't know if they're trying to tell me something downtown Cincinnati. So, but I got it pushed back to September 9th. So, but just, you know, everything going on in everybody's life. I'm not special. I'm not the only one with the crisis going on in my life. And there's nothing. I had a girl tell me that watches the band, oh, you're so special. And I love it when blah, 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 and this and that. And you do this. And when you come into a room, she's just going on and on and on. And I said, look, I said, I'm not special. And she kept saying, but you are, and you write music, and you do this, and you touch people's lives. And she's going on and on and on. And I said, I'm not special. There's nothing special about me. And she kept saying this, and I said, well, look, if you think that, and you think that I'm special, I'm honored. But then that means everybody, which this is the way I think, everybody on the planet is special. We're all equally as special as the next person. It just may be in a different light. It may be in a different way. And, you know, that's the way I think. I'm not any more special than anybody else is. Everybody's fucking special. And we just have different things to offer. And sometimes finding out what that is a long journey.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know.
Woohoo. So that said, why don't we... move along, if that's all right.
Sure. Well, let's talk about the poll because this flat out relates to this the entire conversation. We ask you, what's your favorite song from Rock Cub's album Love, Lust, and Dancing?
Woo!
Woohoo! Pop over to our website, cubsoutloud.com. Click on the link in the poll so that you can download the album from Amazon. And listen to the album. Take your time. Enjoy every single song. And tell us, which one is your favorite?
And just to interject here, and I'll make this quick and not another hour and a half, the album is a the songs are in chronological order of me dealing with my coming to terms with being gay and being in the bear community. So very much so. So I Don't Want to Do It is, I think, the first song, and it's about me being very tired of lying all the time. And that goes through an entire journey of The Best I Ever Had being about my husband, the song You're the One That I Want, into the last three songs, which I wrote after the Indianapolis Bear Run when I danced with a guy for the very first time and watched the tribal dancing known as the underwear dance party that they have out there. I just found it amazing. I'd never been around guys dancing together. Never. I play shows all the time and see people dancing together, but to see guys dancing together, I was so awkward and so backwards about the situation that on the way home I wrote three songs about it, and so the last three songs are all about that.
Wow. Cool.
So download the album, baby.
From the link on the Cubs Out Loud website.
Here from Amazon.com.
Well, no, first go to CubsOutLoud.com.
Sorry.
Yeah, and then go to the poll, and then there'll be a link right there underneath the poll to get the album.
Hey.
And if you're lucky, this isn't confirmed, but if you're lucky, when you come to Drench Fur in a couple weeks, Jeff just might happen to have some merch there that you could get signed in person.
Yeah.
So that's up. So definitely listen to the album. So I posted that like several minutes ago, and of course we don't have any responses, but I think that's because people are just getting the album or something.
Yeah.
So
one of my favorites is You're the One That I Want. I actually heard him perform that for the first time at Midwest, I believe. Well, hopefully the first time, but
yes.
Yeah. So yeah. Love that song. Yeah, but...
So... Yeah. And so coming on for last week's poll, so we're dealing with the BDSM, we thought to ask you, fill in the blank, fistful of blank. Choices are dollars, quarters, handballs, Crisco, or traffic cones, or other. So you can fill in the blank with whatever you want. We only got 8 responses. Wah-wah. And we had 5 for Crisco.
Wow.
And 3 for dollars.
Well, I guess we know where the priority lies.
Yeah.
Apparently, I had a lot of handballers. Although, I think handballers might have been cool. Never mind. So, that's the poll of the weeks.
Yay.
And please download that album so you can listen to the songs and choose your favorite.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're all going to be fantastic.
Yes.
But which one do you like the best?
Yeah.
Moving on. That would be... Oh, that.
Yes. Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen. Strap yourselves in for another issue of Love on Craigslist. Bringing the best of love and lust to you. I'm up first, and I found this in my hometown of Louisville. Women for Women, Ready to Throw in the Towel, 32 LaGrange. Hello, ladies. I'm currently looking for a lady friend, one who can be my best friend and maybe more. I'm a friendly, fun, caring woman looking for the same. I need you to be okay with the fact that I'm a married mother of 3 kids. My husband does know that I enjoy the company of other women, and I will not be involved. I'm looking for someone clean and disease-free, someone honest, caring, and friendly. I'd like to become friends first and then possibly have a little more. I don't do any kind of drugs and prefer you didn't either. I drink rarely. I'm a smoker. I'm 5'7", blue eyes, brownish-red hair. I have a few extra pounds on me, but no complaints. Just more to love. Serious ladies only. No men, no men, no men. For a faster response, please send a photo, and I will return one back. Hope to hear from my new best friend soon. I must stress, serious inquiries only. I know you're out there somewhere. Is it you?
How passive aggressive.
Yes.
Yeah, really.
Yes.
Wow.
I really want to find a woman that I can be best friend with.
No, man!
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Very much so.
So.
Interesting. So, I don't know, David, that's definitely one that I wasn't expecting. Yeah. The one that I ended up finding that I picked for this week, I didn't know how it was going to compare. And since it's just pretty much you and me on this one this week, mine's called A Testimony to Me.
Oh, my.
And it's actually local, of course. I try to stay around here. It's M for M 50 on the state border between Ohio and Pennsylvania. Now, this one I'm going to read. It's kind of like story time. It shouldn't be too long. It's not necessarily set up in your typical fashion.
Oh, God.
So it says, the last time I fed my cock was to Pete from this group, and OMG, is he good. The first time I met up with him, we were in his garage, and damn, I was standing, and he came over and knelt down in front of me and took my cock in his mouth. The feelings that his tongue did to my cock, he would grab my ass cheeks to hold me still. When I start to explode, I have a very sensitive cockhead, and I'm not used to such intensity when he sucks me. I try to pull back, but he keeps up the sucking and draining of my cock. He claims the desire to drive me totally insane is so intense that he just loves the passion that I put into his sucking. When I look down at him as he is sucking and seeing my cock covered with his spit, it's so hot. I could come right now just thinking about his mouth. I can't get enough of him. I will treat your cock the same way. Hit me up. That's the Craigslist ad.
Wow. Wow.
So he's kind of all about the cock.
I have to say, I'm going to have to give this one to Gary.
Yeah. This one,
it was really hot.
Yeah.
And hilarious at the end.
Yes.
Honest to Pete, I'm reading this and I'm like, oh, this is like reading, you know, M for M, you know, literature porn, which I was into for a number of years. And I'm like, all right, I'm reading. And then all of a sudden at the end, it's all caps and he's screaming, I will treat your cock the same way. Hit me up. And I'm like, whoa, okay.
I always get thrown off when they always do HMU for hit me up.
That's what he wrote. I decided to say what it means.
I actually have to quite often. I have to relook that up when I see it in somebody's post or a message or something.
Yeah,
yeah. I would read that as right off the bat. That HMU. That's the first I've heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
HMU, baby.
HMU. Oh. It's one of those, like, because. I mean, it's only three letters, but, you know, hit me up is what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh, God. Don't want to type that.
These damn kids and their acronyms and abbreviations.
Well, he was probably focusing on the cock so much that he didn't want to waste any more time typing.
Ah.
That's true. And he could be one hand in it.
Nice.
So did you like that little story, Rock Cub?
I did like that. That's kind of, you know, I was a little titillated, I will have to say. Thought about driving to Pennsylvania for a second, and then I was like, HMU, no thanks. So, totally ruined it for me.
Nice.
Damn. Well, if you want me to read you a story sometime, you just let me know.
Nice. Yes. A bedtime story. You'd probably be too busy at Drenstfer, so maybe we can have somebody at Drenstfer read me a story.
Oh my.
Well, you do know that that our run, not to plug the run, I feel like I talk about it too much on here, but you know that Uncle Pete typically does story time at some point during.
No, I love those. I love those. That's what I was getting at.
Yeah. So for those that don't know, one of my committee members has done some entertaining and under the name Uncle Pete. And what he's made a habit out of, which actually is quite hysterical, is taking children's books, legitimate like children's books, and reading them to an adult audience. And they have to focus around like, you know, teddy bears or, you know, that kind of a thing. But when they're read in an adult context, and you put in dramatic pauses and stuff like that, they're unbelievable.
That's wow. The, 2 years ago, it was awesome. It was very like almost like, really, are you making this up? Because I'm a little stimulated by this child's book.
So. Yeah, because when he first spun it past the committee at a meeting, he said, I got an idea, and I want you guys to listen. And he pulls this book out and he starts reading it. And I mean, we're on the floor, we're crying and laughing, and we're like, and I'm like, where the hell did you get this book? And he's like, at the bookstore, it's legitimate. And I'm like, no, it can't be. So we might have a good one this year that that we saw. So
nice.
So yeah, that might be some of the story time that happens this year at the run. But nothing wrong with that. So so Box Puppy, you said that I get it. Rock Cub, which of the two Craigslist ads did you like? No pressure.
No pressure. You just know both of us.
I'm gonna have to go with the cock one.
Soccer.
Gary gets it with the combination of erotica and.
What sold me on it was the end of it. It would just
yeah.
The went the through sudden. All of this yeah they went through this whole thing of explaining and the spit and the beauty and it was so awesome and then it's like I'll do you too thanks
I'll do this to you
boom
give me the same attention
it is a bit of a switch at the end because it's all about what he likes done to him and how he's experienced it and how hot it is and then all of a sudden he's like I'll do that to you and I'm like wait what.
Yeah, it's like, thanks. Don't the top
telling
it.
You what exactly that they'll do. And says, I'll be your best bottom ever.
No.
Got all of those versatile people.
Yeah. All right.
I think it's Link's time.
Goodness. So real quick, just, you know, everyone kind of has known that I'm a little bit of a Mighty Morphin Power Rangers or Power Rangers in general fan. Shocker. I ran into friends of mine ran into Karen Ashley, who was Aisha the Yellow Ranger on the original series. And she posted, I joined her fan page and she posted this link to a fan film for Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. And I'm honestly kind of geeking out. I really want to see what they're going to do with this. I like the idea of I'm a big fan of like these fan films. I've posted a while back about there's an Uncanny X-Men fan site that are doing like little, you know, YouTube clips and stuff. And it's, you know, because it's all usually, you know, fan made and, you know, getting donations and, you know, just some guys with cameras and stuff. And I love that they do this stuff. People enjoy their, you know, childhood memories or whatnot so much that they decide to get this stuff out. I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with this. I don't want to say more. Look at the trailer. I know they have a Facebook page, blah, 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 blah. So yeah, it's kind of awesome.
Kind of awesome.
Yeah.
But it's a teaser trailer, so.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where I'm like a little skeptical.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of like how they did their new version of the logo.
Yeah.
I would like to see more of how everything goes. I would love to see this as kind of a dark, gritty Power Rangers things and see what the actual Ranger costumes will look like. Because I have a feeling it's going to be completely different, but similar all at the same time. Like, it's not going to be like the plasticky stuff from the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie.
Yeah.
Which still was kind of cool, especially when they did kind of the helmets with the thing.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. All righty.
Hmm. So mine happens to be a unexpected one that came about. I'm trying to remember who posted this. Oh, a common friend to most of us right now on the episode, a friend of mine, William Brown, in Indianapolis. William happened to post this, apparently, and I know nothing about this, Minecraft is a game or something.
Yeah,
I don't quite catch it, but it's about like smashing blocks to create materials that you can use to build things in this virtual world.
Okay. Well, someone created a roller coaster based off of Minecraft or in Minecraft or something. But thematically, they did it to the movie Beetlejuice, which is an old favorite of mine. And so they play a kind of a dance mix with audio clips. And what it does is it takes you through this crazy psychedelic roller coaster, like virtual kind of 3D ride, and it replicates classic scenes and some different stuff from the movie images you'll see. And I'm not a big, you know, kind of like scary horror kind of person, but you know, Beetlejuice is comedy stuff. And I have a friend out in Hollywood who has his lifelong dream is to create what are called dark rides, which are the indoor roller coaster style rides, which is what this reminds me of. So anyways, if you ever like Beetlejuice and that kind of stuff, it's fun to sit and to watch the whole thing. And all I kept thinking is, if anybody could make this goddamn thing in real life, like, people would just – their minds would be blown, because it's pretty wacky and wild. So that's my pick of the week to go check out.
Yeah. It's kind of fun.
It's pretty neat. I like the video. I don't know how viable it would be in real life, but – I'm sure there's a way to have something similar.
Well, yeah, my friend Travis was like, you know, well, you know, we just need like 20 million or something to make the ride.
Wow.
And I said, so I told him, I said, well, you know, when I get the finances lined up, I'll let you know.
Nice. My link this today is Geek and Sundry is doing something special for which Felicia Day has recently announced that March 30th will be National Tabletop Day. But the idea is that everybody plays board games or nice. Some sort of tabletop game. So it could be an RPG or something like that. But, you know, a group of people sit around a table and play a game or games.
Huh.
I'm assuming like just like regular cards or cards versus humanity. Humanity. You know, that sort of thing. So people play games. So, of course, they have a show called Tabletop, starring Wesley, a.k.a. Will Wheaton. And, he plays games with celebrities. Well, I'm linking to their special edition, their extended edition of Small World. And one of the people in the game is Grant Amhara, which people would know from MythBusters.
Okay.
So he's playing with them with a couple of the people, and it's kind of awesome.
Cool.
So definitely check it out. And it's 2 hours long, but unlike the original Small World episode, it's not cut down. It's the full thing. It's like every single gaming move is moved. And there's a little bit of editing, but, you know, that's not the big thing.
Wow.
Yeah, but I would definitely check it out, especially. It's kind of one of those things where I almost really, it's like one of those where you can just kind of watch that while I'm doing something else, you know, so I'm really more listening to it, but it's kind of cool.
Cool.
So that's my link. Jeff, do you have a link?
To where is the question?
Well, I don't know.
I have lots of links. I have sausage links. I have I have links to my music and some of my videos, which are, like I was saying, reverbnation.com/rockcub. On YouTube, I am Mr. Rock Cub, because Rock Cub was taken, so it's YouTube Mr. Rock Cub. Facebook, of course, if you aren't already joining me on Facebook as Rock Cub, you will need to go to, I think it's, I always get confused here, facebook.com/rockcub2. Let's try that and see. Yep, rockcub2 will get you to my second Facebook page. And then, of course, your link to check out the album directly is through your site. I'm not sure how you guys have got that listed. So you want to do that. If you want to check out the album in its entirety, click on the Cubs Out Loud link. And I think that's about it. YouTube, Facebook, some miscellaneous, any of your social networks, including Underground, bearsunderground.net. I'm Rock Cub on there. Yeah. And join me any and all places, and let's enjoy the world as we can.
So we're not going to release your XTube account channel?
I don't have a channel. I had or have an XTube thing. There are no videos up. I don't really make those videos. So I have been on XTube a couple times. So, yeah. But mainly mainly just for research for a project I was working on.
There you go.
Sure it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. An ongoing project that has not finished.
It was just, well, it's just, it was kind of one-handed, so it was like.
Nice.
It takes a while. As I get older, I find out those projects take longer and longer to get done, so.
All right. But you come to an explosive end. And in any case.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing. And I really appreciate it. I really do.
If you're in Cincinnati and you hear this message, they're at the C&D bar, him and Kendall.
Tonight, 6 o'clock.
Tonight, 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock.
All right. And there's plenty of ways to contact us. Pop over to our website, cubsoutloud.com. Shoot us an email at cubsoutloud@gmail.com. Leave us a voicemail, 361-265-8255. That's 361-CLL-TALK. We'd love to hear your voice. Also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/cubsoutloud. Facebook at facebook.com/cubsoutloud. Google Plus as Cubs Out Loud, because the gplus.2 link, for some reason, isn't working.
Huh.
Also follow us. Pop over to Bear Underground. Join the Cubs Out Loud group, and you can post stuff there.
Yeah.
Don't think of it as just us posting up when a new show comes out or a new poll comes out. Pop over there and have a discussion. In fact, what do you think of Jeff Rockcub's album?
Yeah.
And
I'm okay. And I'm okay if you don't like it. If you think it sucks, just tell me.
Yeah. Honest opinions only.
I won't be bitter. Promise.
All right. And you can find me everywhere as Box Puppy, Box Cub, Box Tech, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Anywhere. Take your pick.
I am Theater Cub 79 on Bear 401, Bear Underground. I'm actually going to start switching that. Bear Underground, Bear 401, and I also have a Tumblr page, and Not Safe for Work Tumblr page. Definitely not safe for work.
Definitely not safe for work.
And I can be found pretty much anywhere that I want to be found on the internet as Gare Bear 73.
That's G-A-R, Bear.
Gar. Gar.
Girl.
Girl. That.
Girl.
Anyways, bring it on. Say goodnight, everybody.
night, everybody.
Good night.
No snarky comment to mention at the end of the show.
No.
Damn it.
Yet.
Usually, insert snarky comment about something completely and utterly random here. Yeah, that's.
There you go.
I just realized we forgot to mention about Ben and Eric's absence.
Oh, well.
That's
all right.
Everybody knew about Ben's absence, and Eric's was personal, so I suppose it's really not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, just saying.
Alrighty.
You're gonna actually hit it. Oh, bye.